Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks to us, that you speak words of comfort and compassion into the realities of our life. Please help us to see and understand that now. Please transform our hearts and thinking that we might walk with you in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. We do pray for our brother Rob, who's not well, that you would be bringing that comfort and compassion to him at this time, and that you would be strengthening his body and lifting his eyes to the wonders and glories and the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, friends, welcome to the start of our new series in 2 Corinthians. We're going to do things a little different to our normal pattern with this letter. We're going to actually spend the next two terms preaching through 2 Corinthians. When I sat down to break up the letter, it just keeps flowing. And so it was really hard to have a natural break and then come back to it next year. So we're just going to run through it together as a whole over the next two terms. The letter as a whole is focused around the idea of the strength of weakness. The strength of weakness. And Paul explores that whole idea over and over and over and from a whole lot of different angles, particularly in the context of ministry. What does the ministry of the gospel look like? How is the strength of weakness displayed in the ministry of the gospel? A lot of it is driven off the back of the danger he sees the Corinthians facing. That the Corinthians are very captivated by the world and the things of strength and power and influence and impressive nature of the world. And there's a potential, the danger, that they become ashamed of weak Christians and ordinary Christians. That they'd be captured and led astray by the impressive, the super apostles that they were looking to, rather than the ministry of the gospel. And I think they're issues that are close to our culture, where the worthiness of ministry is often judged by numbers and how many followers a person has. I think our age often boasts about appearances, outward appearances, that we're concerned about how things look much more than what is in the heart. You see the change when they talk about politicians. We're worried about their performance, not about what happens in their private lives. We're not really worried about their character. It's just what they deliver for us. It's the outward appearance over and above the heart. And sadly, many churches, particularly in the developed world, have swallowed the spirit of the age, where they focus much of their time. Where they focus much of their time on externals, on what God can do for you. With those great motivational speeches of, you are the most important one in the world. You are so important and precious. And we focus on the personalities that deliver those inspiring messages, rather than on truth and sacrifice, taking up our cross and following Christ daily. So we easily look for glory and strength. We expect God to provide abundantly rather than looking for God to mature us, which he says often happens through trouble and weakness. When was the last time you boasted about your weakness or your struggle? Dear God, thank you for this affliction, because I've grown in my knowledge of you. I've grown in wisdom and godliness because of it. That's what this letter is talking about. That's what Paul speaks of. But I suspect more when we feel weak, we want to cover it up. We want to be strong. But 2 Corinthians will challenge us to lay bare our weaknesses, and in doing so, to be strengthened through them. So the strength of weakness is a sort of title for the series. To fill that out a bit more, it should be up there on the screen. The strength of weakness is not being fooled by appearances, but living by faith. Rejoicing in weakness, knowing that God's grace in Christ Jesus is sufficient to make us strong or to strengthen. One of the constant questions that 2 Corinthians will keep throwing at us is, what's your attitude to Paul, the Apostle Paul, and to the Christianity that he teaches, the nature of Christian living? Are we in danger of being seduced into a version of Christianity that prides itself on externals rather than transformed hearts, of taking pride in what is seen, of living by sight rather than living by faith? And this opening passage, these opening 14 verses, give us a real taste of the letter as a whole. And you see, the Apostle Paul, he's not embarrassed by his weakness. He's not embarrassed by the troubles and affliction and suffering that he has and is enduring. In fact, he boasts about them because of the good things that come from them. And the essential good is this, that when he is weak, it draws him to God. When he is weak, it makes him depend on the comfort that comes from God alone through Christ Jesus. And through the growing that takes place there and the learning that takes place there, he's able to serve others by taking the comfort that he's received and bringing that comfort to others. Where would you say are your weaknesses? The trouble and afflictions and the suffering that expose your weaknesses. The troubles and afflictions that strike you. And where do you seek comfort from them, or in them, or through them, or in those times? See, when you get struck by the trouble or affliction that leaves you afraid, where you feel weak and vulnerable, where do you find comfort? Is it fighting the fear with boldness? Or seeking protection or refuge? Or is it slipping into hiding? Is it in cleaning? Or in the all TV channels are now sport channels? Or is it in academia or in solitude? When the troubles have you feeling powerless, where do you find comfort? Is it through fighting back and taking control? Maybe it's aggression relationally. Maybe you get abusive or manipulative. Maybe you run elsewhere. You go off and you hide away playing games, some sort of gaming. Or you run off into the world of pornography where you hold the power and you control the images. Or do you go shopping and take control of the way you look and the way that you're seen? The troubles around you, you just got this feeling, this deep sense that you're failing. Where do you find comfort when you feel like a failure? Do you redirect your attention? Do you look for a victory? Do you try and compensate in other areas, find wins elsewhere? You look elsewhere, this relationship is failing. I'll find those needs met in another place. And the troubles go on. You're not respected. You're not cared for. You're let down. You face a tragedy. It could be persecution. And can I say, more often than not in the New Testament, when it talks about suffering, if you read the context, the suffering is in the context of being persecuted. We often use it more generally about sickness and ill health and things going badly in life. I think that comes under the broader picture of trouble and affliction. Generally, when you read the context, most of the word suffering is related to persecution for the gospel. Not exclusively, but just make sure you read the context when that word comes up. Don't just go, suffering is, I'm sick, injured, or tragedy's happened. But the troubles do go on. Tragedy, persecution, lack of respect, lack of being cared for, let down. Whatever that affliction or trouble might be, or that suffering might be, where do you find comfort? Listed off some things. I'll list off a few more. Shopping. Makeup. The hairdo. The footy team. The children. The grandchildren. The house. The yard. The property. Alcohol. The workplace. Abusing, dominating, flexing your muscles. Mentally or physically. Being more impressive. Getting yourself noticed, becoming a winner, fixing the problem, finding the solution, ignoring the problem. Where do you find comfort? We all know that troubles and afflictions and sufferings keep pounding us in life. Like that little rock at the beach, that rocky outcrop, and the waves just keep coming. Sometimes it's a calm day, but things just keep coming, don't they? Many and various ways. Here are these external factors that keep striking us. And each time they do, they generate feelings within us. And those feelings within us provoke a response. At heart, our reaction, that personal reaction, that response to troubles and weakness, we're seeking comfort or compassion or strengthening in the face of whatever this external factor is. Paul opens this letter showing us where comfort and compassion is found and shows us why weakness can be used for good and is in fact often good for us. Now the Corinthians, in parts of the church, they have issues. One of them is this whole weakness. Paul's not very impressive. Where's the super apostle? We want an impressive looking ministry. But Paul never pretends to be a super apostle. He never pretends to be super impressive. But what he does and what he keeps doing, and I wanted to get a pair of those, you know, those big sunglasses. We couldn't find one in the dress-up. So I can put these on, but I'm not going to be able to see my notes. So, you know, he puts on glasses, like a filter, through which the external factors that strike us, the internal feelings that generates, and our personal reaction that's provoked. He puts on glasses that is like a filter, a lens for viewing all of that, which actually transforms his thinking at every point. I called it a super external factor before because that sounded really cool and fitted in with what else I was saying, but really it's a filter over the top that shapes and frames his thinking. And it will and can transform your dealings with the troubles and afflictions that will and do and are striking you, whatever those external factors are. If we pay attention and allow his ministry to have its effect on us, it will transform the way we think and react and respond, as we realize that comfort and compassion is there for you. And in fact, it's been served up on a platter, if you will just take and eat from it, if you will accept it, if you'll admit, even confess your own weaknesses, ditching those sort of fleshly driven reactions to your troubles and be transformed by the spiritually driven reactions to our troubles. As we do that, you may find yourself going, you know what, weakness can be good. Weakness may not be something to fear. Because in that, often, we get ourselves to the truth. We come to the heart of the gospel, rather than running off into all those things that I've been mentioning earlier. Because the best answer is found in the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion. And the foundation stems from the truth of verse 2. Verse 2, Paul, his opening greeting. We often skip over it, it rolls off the tongue and we just go on to the important part of the letter. But actually this little greeting at the start is the foundation on which all of it is laid. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the ground of our existence as the people of God. We will know true comfort when we rest content in the truth that His grace is sufficient for me. And peace with God, that is the outcome of our redemption that was won by Christ. Meaning we can boast in our weakness in the face of all our troubles because we know who we are in Christ and we know the hope that's been secured by Christ and for those who are in Christ. The strength of weakness, say it again, the strength of weakness is not being fooled by appearances, but living by faith, rejoicing in weakness, knowing God's grace in Christ Jesus is sufficient to make us strong. Now let me move down into the points in the body of the outline. God uses our troubles for good. The first point is praise God for comforting us that so that we can comfort others. So reading from verse 3, follow it with me in your Bibles. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Why does he comfort us? Well, part of the reason is so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, again, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. The comfort of God to us that we can give to others comes through Jesus Christ. And it enables us to endure patiently the troubles and afflictions of this world. God's comfort gives us encouragement and reassurance. It reminds us of the truth, and that in turn strengthens us to endure and keep going. Paul says, God is the Father of compassion. He's not the genie of the three wishes. He's not the genie of the Tim Tam packet that never runs out. He is the Father of compassion. He is the bringer of comfort. And that comes in that super external factor, that set of glasses that we put on that helps us view what strikes us, how we think about it, and how we respond to it. And it comes through, what are those set of glasses? If I was in kids' church, I'd be going, J-E-S-U-S. The glasses, J-E-S-U-S. Jesus endured troubles. He suffered for the truth. He didn't experience everything we do in life. He didn't experience every affliction and trouble that we face. But he did face troubles and afflictions. He needed compassion and comfort because he experienced suffering and trouble in this world. But we don't look to Jesus just because, wow, there's someone that can relate to what we we do, because he suffered the troubles of this world. And we look to him because he experienced one particular suffering that we by faith will never have to. Jesus bore God's wrath. He endured hell. He bore God's anger towards sin, towards our sin. And that is a suffering that by faith we never need face. So the suffering and trouble that he endured and the comfort and compassion that he found through his life says, you know what, he was one of us. And so he's qualified to stand in our place. But we look to him because he did. He bore God's anger towards sin. And so that is a suffering we never need face. And through his suffering, comfort and compassion can be ours. And Paul goes on in verse 7 and talks about his hope, our hope, the Christian hope, is firm. Everywhere else in life, hope is a cross your fingers, right? It's I wish for. The Christian hope has no cross your fingers involved. It is a sure and certain hope. Why? Because it rests on the completed work of Christ. That he died for our sins and he rose again in the resurrection, having paid for our sins, taking away the sting of death, and promising life and resurrection life for all who believe in him. That a sure and certain hope and future. That's the lens that Jesus brings for us to look at and view the troubles and afflictions and suffering that continue to pound us. And so we can praise God for comforting us through Jesus' sin-bearing death. And we can comfort and bring compassion to others when trouble strikes them and when suffering and affliction hits them, by helping them put those glasses on and see things through that way, through that lens. Of course, a myriad of other ways where we help and care and comfort one another. But the key one is putting on the Jesus glasses, seeing that big picture. The second point Paul makes about the suffering and how it can be good, he says in verses 8 to 11, he praises God that he uses even the greatest troubles for good. In verses 8 to 11, Paul's expanding on some of his troubles, and we'll hear a whole lot more of them and that struggle throughout this letter. His struggles weren't trivial. He says they burdened him far beyond the limits of his own strength, so much so that he despaired of life itself. It's not a phrase we use lightly. As Paul speaks of God's comfort and compassion in the gospel, he greets, build off that greeting, grace and peace. He's speaking as someone who knows and can testify to the grace and peace of God and the comfort and compassion that has brought, and the perspective that has given through his troubles and his affliction and his suffering. And the particular good that Paul notes in verse 9 is, these things happen that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. These things happen that I would put the Jesus glasses on and look to the cross and look to him. And notice verse 10. His weakness fostered in him a greater hope for the last day. So the weakness strengthened, produced faith, grew his hope for the day of Christ's return when the victorious Saviour would gather his people together. And the other thing, verse 11, that he talks about is it drove them to pray for Paul and to give thanks for the way that God blessed Paul and used Paul. Faith, hope, love. Can see it because of the Jesus glasses, that super external factor of the gospel. It gives him perspective on the external factors that strike his life, informs the internal feelings about the troubles, and so shapes the personal reaction to those troubles. And so he goes on in verse 12 to 14 saying, you know what, I might not look that impressive. I might not be up with all those super apostles coming into your city, but you can boast in me, the weak apostle. Now, actually, when you do dig and scratch, you get up to chapter 12, you find out some of Paul's ministry was pretty impressive. Signs, wonders, miracles, they were taking place in Paul's ministry. But that's not where he wants us to focus. Sometimes churches get caught going, we want the signs, the wonders, the miracles. Come here because look at this amazing outpouring of the Spirit or amazing outpouring of this that's taking place right here. But that's not what Paul does. Paul says, come and put the Jesus glasses on. We live real ordinary lives with real ordinary struggles. And the gospel helps us see them in perspective. He ministers not in a disgraceful and underhanded way, as we read of the super apostles in chapter 4. He doesn't rely on the wisdom of the world, peddling the word of God for profit, as the super apostles do in chapter 2. His ministry is simple, it's with integrity, it's with godly sincerity, and it's by the grace of God, verse 12. This is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we've conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We've done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. God's grace. Where do you find comfort? What comfort do you offer others? See, in our weakness, we're to look to the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, to his grace revealed through Christ, the peace that can be ours through Christ. Paul goes on in verses 13 and 14, says, you've seen it in me through my troubles. And the longing of his heart is that the Corinthians would understand and be persuaded and transformed by the glories of the gospel. In many ways, that's the aim of the letter. That we would boast in the simple ministry of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, coming as judge and saviour of his people. The strength of weakness is the comfort and compassion of the cross. And in the light of the day of the Lord and in the final day, Jesus' return dominates Paul's perspective in this letter. In the light of the day of the Lord, we have a mirror held up to our faces, going, have you got the Jesus glasses on? Have you got the gospel glasses on when you strike trouble and affliction and suffering, or when it strikes you? Are we Christians who go, yeah, no, I'm all on board with the gospel. I'm all on board with Christ. It's all about Christ and the gospel, but I really would prefer it this way. Actually, we're happy to prefer it another way, aren't we? Because God says, bring all your prayers and petitions before me. Cast all your anxieties on me. But we can get so busy casting all our cares and anxieties that we become tellers of God of how he's supposed to do things rather than in telling and casting our anxieties, we rest in the gospel. I think we ought to not boast too quickly that yes, I do rest in Christ and the gospel. We want to take seriously those words of Jesus, take the log out of your own eye first. Where are the issues there? So when you care for people in distress, is the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, is that at the heart of your care? Are you convinced that that is where comfort and compassion is found? Does it show in how you care? Does it show in how you yourself think and view and respond to trouble in life? Are you convinced that true comfort and compassion abounds through Christ? Or do you in reality seek or think, I need something more than that? The strength of weakness is not being fooled by appearances, but living by faith, rejoicing in weakness, knowing God's grace in Christ is sufficient to make us strong. Let me lead us in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glories of the gospel. We thank you that Christ came and suffered and died in our place, that we never have to endure that one suffering, that we don't need to bear your anger for our sin, your wrath on our sin, that we, by faith, don't need to endure the horrors of eternal hell and damnation. But through Christ, we might receive your grace. We might know peace with you. We might stand with hope for the future. Father, before the Lord Jesus, we know the gospel tells us that the weak find comfort. We know that those who think they're strong and who fail to recognize they need your comfort are in all manner of trouble in the long term. Father, give us the lens of the gospel. Help us to wear the Jesus glasses as those troubles and afflictions and sufferings continue to pound away at us in this world. Father, strengthen us. Help us to bring the comfort and compassion of your gospel to one another, that we might stand firm in the hope that you've given us in Christ, in whose name we pray.